Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to Owner podcast. I'm Jesse Tyler, the happy enthusiast about employee ownership and ownership of all forms. And we'll hear a little bit from Chroma today. We have three voices of ownership that I'll introduce you to in just a moment, and they'll start to share their story. For those of you that are new to the podcast, the goal is to have a range of ownership experience and culture topics and bring more insight to the individual ownership experience. While I often feature rank and file workers, we like to include a wide range of voices of ownership. What does ownership mean to them? How does it impact their work, their experience, their lives, their perspective? So I'm calling from a large, thankfully busy factory. We have folks at Chroma. We have somebody at home. Dogs might bark. That is only adding to the authenticity of the audio. And if you hear manufacturing sounds next to me, that's also another sound of ownership pride. So our guests are three guests from Chroma, and we want to dive right in because the goal of this podcast is to hear their voices and not too much of mine. So Jamie, first on the line today, who is Jamie and what do you do for Chroma?
Well, hi there. I'm Jamie Malloy. My title at Chroma is the Optomechanical Maintenance Lead, and that doesn't mean much to most people, but a brief description of what I do is I maintain, repair, calibrate, and or verify the tools and instruments used to measure the products that we produce. And that is the main role of my position. There are definitely other things I do, but that's the main thing. I've been with Chroma for 6 years next week. My anniversary is next week.
That's
and
great.
I'm 60% vested in the stock part of Chroma, but 100% vested in my employment here.
That's awesome. Great introduction. And I love your title. That's fantastic. For listeners, before we get started, I mentioned, you know, the guests to share their title and then what they actually do. And that was a perfect example as to why. That's fantastic. My title is Associate Experience and nobody knows what that means, but I think yours is the best one. I'd want that on a shirt. It's fantastic. It almost got a ring of a rock band, like a bar band. Ann, who is Ann Stanley and what do you do for Chroma? A little bit about it yourself, please.
Hello, my name is Ann Stanley. I am a SAM, which is a sales account manager. What that means is that I oversee a lot of our OEM, which is an original equipment manufacturing companies that purchase from us, but it also files into technical customer support for all companies, not just OEMs necessarily. I've been at Chroma for 24 years. I started out in order entry and did a stint in order management, which basically is the hub of the company where orders come in and go out from that central location. I did technical customer service for a while, and now I've been this sales account manager for about 8 years. So I'm 100% vested and invested for 24 years and
that's
on.
That's great. That's great. That's awesome. Yeah. And the span in your tenure of what you've done and how much you know about your company and how many people you've helped bring up to speed and find their strengths. That's admirable. The average career tenure, I think when I looked it up a couple months ago, was 4.2 years nationally. So, you know, you've got some, Jamie, you're a career and a half in and you're just warming up. You know, in the end with your tenure, that's admirable. That's awesome. Marcel, who are you and what do you do for Chroma?
All right. My name is Marcel LeClaire. My title is a glass configuring technician. And basically what that means, because I didn't understand what configuring was before I came here. I work in a department that's responsible. We're kind of the machine shop or the misfits, and we love it that way. We're cutting the filters down into using core drills or dicing saws into circular or rectangular parts. Currently working on new capabilities to do odd shaped parts. That is a very exciting thing for us. My specific role sort of encapsulates all the different aspects, whether it's setting up the glass assemblies to go on our different machines, scheduling priority or organizing the work, where it's going to go, when it's going to go, based off the capacities, sort of cutting the work down, as I mentioned, breaking it down, cleaning it, measuring, chamfering, and being a part of, and in some cases, leading project groups aimed towards our continuous improvement goals. I've been here going on 4 years now, coming up in June. I guess I've been here for 4 years, if you count the time I was here as a temp before I got hired on full time.
Nice.
I'm not fully vested in the stock part, but like Jamie and Ann, I'm fully invested in what we're doing here. I absolutely love it here.
And with your description, it gives a nice segue. So for folks that aren't familiar with Chroma and the critical contributions you make to our economy. One of you want to give sort of an overview, like somebody's first exposure to Chroma. What is Chroma about for somebody who's never heard about it?
Chroma is a manufacturer of optical filters, primarily for the, started as the fluorescence industry, fluorescence microscopy and research and development. We have broadened out into now SWIR, Raman, like different applications, different technologies. We also have an astronomy line of filters. So you can look at deep sky nebulas and galaxies and stars and that sort of thing. But our bread and butter way back in the day when we started was making filter sets for fluorescence microscopy and putting them into microscopes.
That's great. Yeah, because I would introduce as, you know, specialists in optical filters, but I didn't want to leave out the broader view and the expansion that you've gone through. So I appreciate that. So most of the guests I've had over the three seasons are from ESOPs in format. And I understand that Chroma's format of ownership is a little bit different. So we can delve into that if you want to, something you want to share, or we can keep on chugging. But I wanted the listeners to understand that ownership is evolving and changing. I've worked 17 years at the 36th biggest 100% employee-owned ESOP in the country, Hypertherm Associates, very proud to work here. And that's great as a mature, you know, over 20 years of ownership. But there's a lot more going on within the realm of ownership with ownership trusts. People come, you know, talking to people that work at the co-op that I shop at, they're employee owners. They refer to it differently, one voice, one vote. So if you wanted to share anything about your plan, you're certainly welcome to. But I just want to acknowledge for listeners that it's a lot of fun for me to start to have the reflection of ownership in its format and form changing and evolving. And just to call that out, and if people want to learn more, they can do some research. Ann, do you want to add any color or comment?
I sort of do. So there has been so much change over the years, but as an employee owner, but when I started, our structure was very flat. The custodian made the same amount as the president of the company. Everybody made the same amount of money. When I got hired on, it was literally a town hall vote. We had no human resources. We had no personnel. It was a town hall vote. I worked as a temp, let's say, for about 6 weeks. And then at the next meeting, presented how I felt I was doing there. Other people gave some feedback. I literally left the room and came back in when they said, you can come back in, and I would know whether I was hired or not. As far as the stock ownership part, that has evolved. We've always given out shares, but it's not like one person, one vote. It's one share, one vote. So the more shares you have, the more sway you have, I guess, in the shareholder vote part of our structure. But yeah, we now have human resources. We now have a lot more structure. We have a tier system in our pay structure. It has definitely turned more corporate, but has maintained that employee ownership venue as far as part of one of our core values that we definitely embrace.
Yeah, I appreciate your sharing that because you've been quite a success story, and it's interesting to get those reflections on the early days. It's something that we talk a lot about at Hypertherm Associates because it was a very humble. Our founder, Dick Couch, started in a two-car garage and was told for 8 years, you're crazy, that's not a business, this isn't going to be viable, you're wasting your money, now you're wasting your family's money. And so it's healthy for newer, you know, associates, new workers joining successful companies to understand there was a humble story. Sometimes you don't have to look even that far back. So I appreciate a little bit of a peek at your acceleration and growth for some of that history.
And for the founders that started the company to be so humble in saying, we're not taking anything to begin it. Like, we were employee owned from the get go. There was never a conversion of anything. Once the next person was hired after the initial five founders, they had the exact same say and sway and input and everything until, you know, to where we are now. And so those founders to say that this is what we want, and from the get go, we're going to share everything we get with everyone that is in this company and not take any more, because we started it and gave up all of this and had families contributing to the startup. And it truly is an amazing success story. And it is a lot of thanks to the giving and humbleness of the founders.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing it. So the way you work and the way you grew into the success story you are now is based on every person coming in matters, and we want to know what's on their minds. We want them to feel safe and be able to unleash creativity and ideas and problem solving. So absolutely fantastic. So let's The goal of this podcast is to help expand and bring new voices to growing employee ownership in any form. And hearing from people who do the work in their own words, I enjoy hearing from VPs and directors and CEOs on the podcast realm and the different, you know, YouTube videos and things and conferences about ownership. I enjoy, no shade thrown. I work at a factory. I came because I enjoy people who work at a factory. And so it's sort of the daily workers and whatever that role may be. So I'm curious how you talk about ownership, employee ownership, when you're out and about and you're up in Burlington on Church Street and you're wearing, like Jamie in the video, I can see his certified employee owned logo, which is a great organization expanding ownership, Thomas Dudley and his crew. So if somebody says, dude, what's the deal with the employee ownership thing? I heard about it and I don't understand it. So what would you say on Church Street on a beautiful sunny day to somebody who has no idea? Jamie, you can start us off. How do you talk about ownership?
I say being an employee owner just makes you think about the bigger picture when you're doing your day-to-day job and the decisions that you make in your daily work life. Like it's not just to make your life easier or to make your job better. It really makes you focus on the whole company. You know, the company is your company. You want the company to be profitable for everybody that works at the company, including yourself. So it helps guide those decisions and gives you, I don't know, there's just a sense of a belonging and a bigger sense than just having a job, right?
That's great. Well done. Well done. Yeah, I appreciate it. Those are the insights that we do this podcast for so people can hear it. A stretch goal for what you're contributing to is that somebody who's considering any form of employee ownership hears this. And here's their workers that they care about in your voices. And it's like, oh, that reminds me. Jamie reminds me of somebody, or Anne or Marcel reminds me of, maybe I should go farther. So it's good to have big, audacious goals for a little humble podcast about ownership. But that is a goal. And I think that's great, where that's their first impression of what ownership means to you. And then that's very compelling. Anne, do you want to add comment to other perspective to what Jamie started?
I just feel like when you're out and about and somebody asks you about employee ownership, or you talk about Chroma technology and they say, and you say, I get animated, you know, I get engaged, and it's like the buy-in, and it's more than a job. And back in the day, you felt like a family. Everybody was concerned and respectful of, and not that we're not now, it's just we're 4 times the size we were when I started, but you still have that family feel where you're working for the greater good of everyone.
That's great. That says a lot. Marcel, it's hard to go third, so you're going to be first on the next question, but if you want to bat clean up for Team Chroma, do you have other thoughts on how you talk about ownership around somebody who's not familiar?
You know what? I take pride in being the third. I am the third Marcel in the line of Marcels after my father and grandfather. So it is a mark of pride for me. You know what? I'm okay with it. You know, I echo a lot of, I think, Jamie's sentiments about belonging, about being a part of something, a bigger picture sort of thing. I've held a lot of jobs that were very much small picture, whether it be, you know, customer service or working in kitchens, you know, stuff that people call passion jobs, but there's not really too much future in it, you know, stuff you do when you're growing up. And I loved every part of that. But what I really think sets this apart for me is that I feel like that really innate sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. I feel like even in what I do, you know, I'm not in a higher up position, but I feel like an integral part of the future of the company. I don't feel like I'm just a cog in some great machine that's expected to eventually fail and be replaced. You know, quite the opposite. I feel like it's a mutually beneficial. They're investing in me and I'm investing in myself. And I feel the more of myself that I invest in and the more of myself that they invest in me, I'm growing, I'm able to contribute more. And I feel like there's just that company culture of, we all sort of want to be doing that. We all want to be growing together. So, I mean, employee ownership is that has really just meant that belonging, that mutual beneficial, mutual respect. Absolutely. And said, you know, family. And I feel that here in big ways.
That's great. That's great. I appreciate the insights from all three of you. That's what this project is about, and sharing that. So Marcel, how do you talk about, you're around friends and family, it's the weekend, you're not doing all things Chroma, and you're grilling something and eyeing a comfortable chair. And how do you talk about it with your closer circle or your family and friends? What,
you know, and it wouldn't change that much, because a big thing for me is that sort of family values, that sort of, I don't know, finding belonging, finding mutual respect. It's what I try to cultivate in my life outside of work. And I feel like that's really the vibe that I get here. And so that's sort of how I talk about it outside of here as well. I mean, maybe a little bit more in detail about the responsibility I feel to show up as my best self, even if it's not the best day, even if I'm not, you know, even if I'm not the very best, most present version of myself, I can still feel like I'm able to contribute something of value here because I really feel that sort of family, those people that love you. They love you when you're at your worst. They love you when you're at your best.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. It's a theme that's come up with talking. I've literally talked to thousands of people about ownership, not many through this podcast, but speaking at conferences, attending conferences, and just being fascinated by it for 17 years. And it can be, it's been a recurring theme over the years that people don't tend to talk about liking, really appreciating working at an employee-owned company during the boom times, the good times. Of course, that's great. We work for pay and benefits. The stories are most often when I was going through something and they had my back, the company wasn't busy enough and they kept me on the payroll. It's the hard times that have been the theme over 17 years of these conversations. So I appreciate your kind of opening that door for us to play around with. And when you've got 24 years, so just sort of thinking over that time, how have you talked about, you know, to new friends and family about the impact of ownership on your work and life?
Yeah. And so I have to say that when I talk to friends, close friends and family, I kind of get into more of the minutiae and the frustrations that sometimes erupt in the employee ownership, the changes that have happened, and just kind of a way to vent when, you know, creating a corporate structure was a big deal and hiring on human resources. And so just this kind of things that are a little, the changes that inevitably happen as a company grows. But at the same time, the fact that I am grilling and having the couch time and I am home with my family and the quality of life is a huge value of Chroma and employee ownership, where they want to make sure you have a quality of life, work-life balance, and they're genuinely, the company is genuinely concerned about that. They want to make sure that you don't burn out. They want to make sure that you have the time available if you need FMLA, if you need personal time for yourself, if you need to stay home with a child. You know, the benefits are amazing, and they allow me to spend that time with my friends and my family.
That's great. Thank you. Jamie, your thoughts?
So I'd say, like, at home, I take a lot of pride in working at Chroma. I love working at Chroma. I love being employee owned. But my wife works at the company that I worked at before Chroma, which is a very toxic environment. So I try not to, like, really highlight how good I have it, knowing how bad she has it. So, but like when I'm talking to friends, it's very much to if I was talking to just a stranger on the street, like, this is so much better being an employee owned business and that sense of family. And you know that you're working towards the profitability of the company, which also goes directly to your salary and to your retirement. And so at home, I don't talk about it that much, but.
That's great. Well, it comes through. And even in your working to describe it for all three of you, you're conveying the intention of what this podcast is about. So I appreciate it. So thanks for putting yourselves out there. And you've welcomed a few new coworkers over your tenure. How do you help a new coworker understand? This is one of the great mysteries within ownership of any form, is it's not an immediate, you know, you can have yearly profit sharing as a short-term reward, but the shares and the vesting and participation and making sense of it and then actually being fully vested so the money is kind of awkward, air quotes, real. It's a long-term game. So how do you help new coworkers kind of understand it and get on board with it?
So my go-to comment to them is that you have a say, you have a voice. From day one, you walk in that door, you have a voice. And while your voice can be to a manager, your voice can be to the lead of your department, the voice could be to your department coworker. But Chroma wants to learn and hear from experiences that new employees are bringing in. And it's not so corporate that we have, I mean, of course we have processes and protocols and, you know, ways to do things, but it's not so hard and fast that you can't bring up ideas and have them actually be heard. And so, yes, the stock ownership and the money, the real money, air quotes, is one thing, but to get there just seems a lot easier than a traditional company. You can be and are encouraged to be engaged in all aspects of it from the get-go.
Nice. Very nice. Marcel, do you want to add any thoughts to Dan's?
Yeah, I think in a similar sense, as she was encouraging other people to, you know, you have a voice here. I think it took me a little while for it to really sink in. I had heard so much about Chroma as a company and the employee ownership model over time. And compared to the jobs that I worked in, which had very much more contentious power dynamics between management and, you know, employee bases, where you really didn't feel like anything was up to you. I mean, this is a very different model where once I sort of saw just the trust that was being put in me, the sort of the support that I had in asking for help should I need it in tackling problems, it really sort of opened up my eyes to just what's possible here. And so when new people come on board, a lot of what I'm doing is, you know, give them the space to have those feelings, because telling somebody those feelings aren't valid is not going to help them, you know, come around to see it, but really just, you know, promote their growth and be the support for them that I received when I got here. And so it's really been amazing when you see that sort of that click, when that moment happens, they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is actually supportive. This is actually, you know, I can do this. I can do this. I can contribute in meaningful ways.
That's fantastic. Jamie, what are your thoughts? New coworker, how do you bring?
It's, you know, almost all new coworkers or new to any job, right? You come in and why is it done like this? Or I think it would be better if you do it like that, just because they're going off their past experiences. And I would say here, we embrace that, bring that up. That could, you know, don't be afraid to bring that forward. We might change the whole process based on your input, if it's really going to make things better. And to just let them know it's okay to speak up and your voice will be heard. And, you know, we might be a department meeting that, hey, how does everybody feel about this? You know, so-and-so just brought this up. And what do you think about giving it a try? And I think that's absolutely great. I was blown away when I started here at like how much just, wouldn't this make it better? Well, go ahead, try it out, order some stuff and see if it works. Yeah. And so I just try to share those experiences, like, you know, and let them know, speak up. Your input is valued input, even though you're a new employee.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I think for what I recommend, I've done a lot of onboarding for a lot of people, you know, we're a much larger scale company than you are, and we need to hire. And, you know, sometimes we'll have, you know, 12 new people start every other Monday, not always, but it can be, you know, between 4 to 6. The most in one day we had start was 27, which was during COVID, which was, we used 3 different buildings to spread everybody out enough. So there's a lot of scale. So I've got a lot of years in that. And what I've settled on the first morning, I say, ownership takes some getting used to, and you can learn it over time. Give yourself 3 to 5 years to get your hands around it. All we're looking for today, if you go home tonight and you, maybe if you can't describe it eloquently, you feel like you made a good choice and you're going to come back tomorrow and double your tenure. Let's start with today. Let's double it tomorrow. Let's see how you're doing the end of Thursday when it doubles again, and let's go incrementally towards that. That's what I've settled on, because it can be so overwhelming to be new. And unfortunately, there's a giant variable when you get a new coworker. You know, back, I asked some guests in recruiting, it's on LinkedIn regularly, that 7 out of 10 people leave organizations they liked or loved because of a bad experience with a leader or values or otherwise. So 7 out of 10 are likely coming out of a bad to, even in the work context, traumatic experience. So that's not somebody who's prone to just dumping buckets of trust all around the onboarding room on the first day or the week. So I think it's good to just kind of bring it down and calibrate it a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the big question in ownership, Jamie, what does ownership mean to you?
To me, it's just another reason to take pride in your work and to work with the entire company's best interests in mind. That's really what I try to tell myself.
That's great. Yeah, I've asked thousands of people between having that as part of our cultural immersion onboarding intensive, being at conferences, working with different companies, supporting them with that culture work, never had the same answer twice. There's definitely some themes, and you hit on a couple there, but it's just fascinating because it is like a fingerprint. I've never had the same exact answer twice. Marcel, what does ownership mean to you?
To me, it means that the work I do here means something tangible. It means that, you know, I came in without necessarily having industry experience, and I was trusted from the day that I walked in as I can contribute something meaningful. I can have important input. And in fact, it might be something that people who have been in the industry or have been here for a number of years might not have thought of. Ownership to me means I'm an important piece of this puzzle, and that I will invest myself fully because I have been invested in it.
That's great. Thank you. Anne, what does ownership mean to you?
Ownership to me means making lasting relationships within the company, because you're, as an owner, you look to stay for a long time. You are making long relationships with the other employees, but you're also making lasting relationships with your customers and your clients, because you put so much into the pride of workmanship, and it shows when you bring that out to the world and you want to share that with people. And I think people respect that, and you have this, people come to, back to you because of the excitement and the pride you have in being an employee-owned company and in what the product you are providing to them, and the confidence and the faith in that product in helping them do whatever it is that they are looking to have done.
That's great. So let's take a peek if there's a other side of the coin, Anne. So Chroma has collected bright, talented, motivated folks. So you have a highly engaged workforce. They're in their 3 to 5 year journey of getting their hands around this ownership thing, separate from the vesting and the program, just getting their hands around it and their confidence. What's the hard part? Is there a hard part of employee ownership? I think it's great to bring the accolades and the enthusiasm. I also think it's healthy to it being willing to explore if there is a hard part, also helps kind of balance and substantiate those. So is there a hard part to ownership that comes to mind for you, Anne, first?
I think there is a hardship to it. And I think it's what you said, it's in that 3 to 5 year buy-in. You have to, you're learning a new job, you're overwhelmed. You're trying to make an impression. You don't actually own shares until you've been employed for a year. And even then it falls weirdly, you'll get a partial. So I think it's just hanging in there to really understand the employee ownership and what it truly means and where you can have an impact in it. And it's a struggle to that. I think some people just, they can't do it and they don't last because they just are overwhelmed. Because it's so different from anything they've experienced before, they don't give it enough time and they just kind of freak out. And you don't want them freaking out, but you know, they can't grasp the true value of it long term. And it's unfortunate. I know we've definitely lost some people that weren't able to do that. It was just for whatever reason.
It's not for everyone. It's intended to include everyone. It has an incredible impact on lower income working Americans. You know, where income working Americans NCO figure, I think it was 52% they released earlier this year, 52% of lower income working Americans have zero saved for retirement. The median average for employee ownership or ESOP plan participants. So I'm not looking for any reference to Chroma's median at all, but to make a point for the national larger group of ESOPs, it's $152,000. That's a vast difference when you go to work, beginning of your career, knowing that it could lead to that if you stick around, like you were saying, stick around through the first few years to kind of get some momentum. And then mid-career, knowing that you have a chance, and then late career, knowing that you actually can retire, let alone, you know, a lot of people can't look at that. So Marcel, do you see a hard part? You can build on what Anne said or add something different. What is a hard part to ownership?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sort of within that first 3 to 5, I'm in that 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, a lot of it has been coming around to the responsibilities that come along with being an employee owner. But I'd say most of all, the things that have challenged me haven't been challenging in a negative way. It's challenged me to just sort of find the belief in myself that I'm capable of, say, leading a work project group, that sort of thing. Like, they are challenging me in stuff that I've never done before because they saw something in me. They said, well, you seem like somebody who might have the ability to do a good job in this position. So it's really just about myself coming around to believing those parts. And so far, it's been tremendous in that way. So my challenges have been very well invited. I've loved the growth that I've had. That's and great. Getting scared in that way of I've never done something like this before. Let's see what comes of it. And they're like, yeah, we think you can do it. And so far I've been able to do it and I loved it.
That's great. Yeah, I think that hard doesn't mean unpleasant or miserable. Right. It can be kind of alarming to people when somebody says, listen, there's only a matter of time till you're running a team here. So if you're ready now, we'd like to get you started. And if you're not, we want you to think about it. And when you're ready, we would like to elevate you and train you and build you up to that. And that can be a little startling to any reasonable worker who hasn't had that experience, but it can be a little bit hard. So I appreciate
absolutely.
Sharing.
I think that's exactly what I was thinking next, is that it's hard to get people to really to understand and believe that, you know, that same thing is there for them. And sometimes those challenges become a cutoff and they say, oh, I can't do this. Sorry. Yeah. But it's there.
I appreciate it. And I'm glad that you're having a rewarding hard experience in the sense of getting pushed and challenged and rising to it and sticking your chin out for more. That's awesome. Jamie, do you have thoughts on anything hard about ownership or anything you want to add to Marcel and Anne's thoughts?
I'd say to me, it's kind of personally frustrating when other employee owners that have been a part of the organization for the more than 5 years, they're vested, but they really just don't seem to take employee ownership to heart, that they don't want to be parts of any of the groups to try to continuously improve. They want all the benefits, you know, but there's no, you know, there's owners' rights and responsibilities, and there's people that don't want the responsibility part. And I just try to understand that's their prerogative, and I don't know their whole story, but it's personally frustrating to me just because of how much of a positive experience it is for me to try to understand how someone could be that negative while reaping the same benefits, you know?
Yeah. I appreciate your putting it out there. It's pretty difficult at a successful employee-owned company to say, hey, come on, Marcel, we've always done it that way. Let's just take it easy. Or, hey, Anne, appreciate your energy. Wait 6 months before you speak up at a meeting again. I've had people come in and tell me that. It makes me sick. What's the point of hiring somebody if you're not inviting fresh ideas and change?
Right. You know? Absolutely.
So, you know, Jamie, this is a hard question, so I'm going to just give you a moment to process. Can I come into Chroma as a new hire and say, Jamie, I just want to do my job and go home. I'm not into all this ownership stuff. I just want to do my job and come home. I want to punch in and punch out. How's that going to go for that new hire at Chroma? In your opinion, not speaking for the company.
I'd say, I hope you change your mind. You know, if you're a new hire coming in, you know, I hope we can turn that around for you. I hope that you can see the company's worth more than that. And
that's great. Good response. Nice. I hope you have lots of interactions with new hires. They're harder and harder to find and keep, and I hope you get to influence them. So I want to shift gears a little bit. We like to ask about the EO aha moment. So when it's not like when you first heard about employee ownership, but it's more if you had a moment that you're like, wow, huh, that sort of pause moment. I think one of you made a reference to it earlier with people starting to get it. And we know we've talked about, and you've done a nice job illustrating for new folks to ownership that it can take many years to really get that opportunity. But Jamie, to start with you, have you, if you've had an EO aha moment, can you share it with our listeners?
I can. So I can say, so a neighboring company to us is a great visual example. They have a permanent hiring sign in their parking lot. And if I go for a walk, I see the cars in the employee lot, you know, they're older third or fourth owner cars. They tend to change a lot, which I assume means a high turnaround. I could be wrong, but I also see the owner of that company come in with multiple supercars, high-end luxury cars. And I just can't help but think, you know, any of the people that park in that employee lot would probably not be able to afford one of those cars at all, but definitely not afford a good, healthy lifestyle along with one of those cars. And that to me is like, that's what employee ownership is, right? That's kind of like trying to make everybody more on this, at least at Chroma, more on the same level, really caring about the work-life balance, really caring about paying a livable wage. And that to me is just, that's one of my aha, you know, there's the difference.
That's great. I appreciate you sharing that. Marcel, if you've had an EO aha moment, could you share it with our listeners?
EO aha moment for me was struggling and toiling in low income positions, not feeling valued, not feeling like I had anything to add other than performing a basic task. The aha moment for me was getting here and not feeling like that. Being a part of an employee-owned company has rewritten so much of that for me. I'm just eternally grateful. I mean, I've been supported in so many incredible ways, not only through our, you know, benefits and the livable wage that we have. I just bought a house. I never thought that was going to be possible doing jobs that I've done in the past. So employee culture, having a place that doesn't feel toxic, supported. I don't know. If this is what employee ownership is, sign me up forever.
That's great. That's great. Well, I appreciate your share and congratulations. There aren't a lot of people right now saying that they bought a house. So that's awesome. Congratulations. Welcome to home ownership.
Thank you.
And if you have had a EO aha moment, can you share it?
Well, having my tenure being quite long, going back, it would be, so I was way back when I brought my infant into work. When I came back to work, he came back to work with me. And there was no hullabaloo about like, why is he here? Why aren't you getting daycare? Why aren't you getting childcare? We also allow dogs into parts of the corporation, if, you know, obviously not in manufacturing, but, you know, we definitely are just so family oriented. And so we definitely are trying to be inclusive. We are trying to be supportive. We are trying to be employee ownership just truly means pride in your company. And if you don't have that, it's not something that you're going to develop. You come in and you find it and you have that aha moment. You're like, yep, this is the place for me. You know that this is where you're going to live out the rest of your working years just because you embrace Chroma is.
That's great. So with that in mind, for many of you or all of you, is there something about ownership culture? Because part of this is sharing your story. You're also teaching, helping people, peers out there that listen. We have national listeners. We've had folks in other countries reach out to us. It's also a chance to share. In sharing pride, you're also teaching an opportunity to somebody else, maybe newer to ownership than Chroma is. Is there something about ownership culture, communications, celebrations that you think is just bomb diggity and you're super proud of and you got to share it because it might be something somebody else can pick up? A moment to process. Can you think of anything particular, like a ritual, how you deal with celebrations or anniversaries, anything like that, that you think that Chroma does really well? Did you want to share out?
I think that one thing that really stands out to me, communication across the board, I feel is way more transparent than I've seen in the past in different places that I've worked. I feel like we're encouraged to engage in the board meetings. We're encouraged to learn about the company and really to know. And they do a really good job. Chroma does a great job of putting that information out there for us to really also not only be able to provide the most to the company, but to get the most back in return. So I think communication has been a really strong thing that I've seen here at Chroma. Celebration wise, I got to throw out that the barbecues that we do during the summer, such a good time to get to interface with everybody across the whole company. You know, those of the people that are there, just a great time to get to know everybody. Anne was saying it's a company that has grown quite a bit in the years that it's been around. So it's not every day that we get to see people from, you know, other departments. So those are awesome times. I really appreciate that we have that here.
That's great. So the communication and social gatherings, particularly with excellent barbecue, that's great. That's fantastic. Absolutely. All right. So we're getting near the end of our conversation. I always like to finish with an opportunity for you to promote your company. It is as well as you're doing, as well as we're doing. ESOPs, many successful ESOPs, greatly beating the averages for consistency and minimal to no layoffs and all of those successes. It is still very difficult to hire. There aren't enough young people coming up. We are actually, not to be a bummer, in process with a global crisis where many people are retiring and at successful employee-owned companies, sometimes retiring earlier than you wish they would because they've been so good with their finances and they have the benefit of the shares. We want to help your HR department, human resources, your recruiters. What are just a quick thought from each of you is promoting the company or why it's great to work there or why somebody listening should join you when there's an opening or more openings in the future. Jamie, kick us off. Shameless promotion encouraged.
I would say work-life balance is not just talked about. It's a reality and it's encouraged. And I'd say that's probably one of the biggest things to really tell people. You know, you can get so in your job and take stuff home with you and in any industry, and here the, you know, management will really tell you, nope, you got to separate. You got to have time for yourself. We want you to have time for yourself. And I just think that's so much different than what I've experienced in the past, that that's my champion line.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Marcel, what are your thoughts?
I echo what Jamie said, that work-life balance is real. Even a funny situation that happened last year, I went to go play a music festival with the band that I play in out in Montana, and we got stuck because of the wildfires out there. Oh, wow. And so we couldn't come back for a little bit of extra time, but they were really good about that. They were really understanding and had, you know, built into our benefit structure, it was a possibility, and it didn't just ruin everything for us to get stuck out there. Not only that, but my manager promoted the band that I was in while I was out there to the rest of the company, told them a little bit about that. Just so cool. It's that sort of family culture. It's that sort of family vibe that I think we really have down here. And I will forever scream that to the hills. Chroma is a great place because you can be here and you can be you and feel like family and feel supported and do great things.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've met a few Chroma folks over the years and definitely picked up on some of that vibe. So it's great to have you sort of unpack that and describe it. And a shout out to Sarah Sanctuary, which is the connection. She helped out with a panel I did at the Vermont Employee Ownership Center conference, and she was awesome. We've kept in touch. She's a rock star. So shout out to Sarah, and I appreciate her connecting me with all of you, and hope to see
you. We look forward to her coming back for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope we can connect in person versus Microsoft Teams at VEOC or other things in the future. Ian, we'll finish with you. Shameless promotion of Chroma, why somebody should join you there.
Chroma is not only the work-life balance, we are a socially responsible company, and we manufacture in the United States. We manufacture everything in Vermont, and that is a great thing to be able to say, is that 100% employee-owned and made in the USA.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right, we'll end it there. So thank you to Anne, Marcel, and Jamie from Chroma in Vermont, sharing their a little bit about their company, their culture, their personal experiences with ownership. Again, Jesse from the Owner to Owner podcast for the EO Podcast Network, working to amplify the voices of ownership. And like to close with, if you can, work employee-owned, buy in any form. There's lots of co-ops that are selling things. They can sell Bob's Red Mill, so you can buy an ESOP product through a co-op. It's just a great story. And work, buy, and if you can, also buy your optical filters employee-owned. That's a good thing, too. So appreciate the three of you sharing and speaking for your fellow owners. I really enjoyed the conversation today, and I look forward to meeting you in person at a future ownership conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.